Good morning, everyone. On behalf of the Collinston Ecclesia, I would like to say greetings and thank you for asking me to teach a class this weekend. Too bad Brother Ernie is not here, so I cannot pick on him today. For the letters and the phone calls and the voicemails that he left, I guess he thought I was trying to dodge him. I don't know. But he kept calling and leaving voicemails like I didn't have his number. But anyway, I'm thrilled to be back here teaching. It seems like it's been over 3 years since I stood here in front of everybody to present something. It feels good to be back with all of our brothers and sisters to be able to study a portion of that word. With our theme verse this weekend, which is Psalms 119:105, I'm going to turn there and read, and it says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." When we think about that, I often ask the question, who was the word? Who is the word? And turn over to John chapter 1 verse 14. And it says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, and the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Talking about Jesus. Jesus was the Word made flesh. I ask, what is our purpose? What job do we have every day? We are to bring about God manifestation. Our whole duty as mankind is just as Jesus Christ was, and that is to be about our Father's business. God manifestation brings about human salvation. When we look at Psalms 119, it's considered to be written by David. He was classified as a man after God's own heart. David wasn't a perfect man. He too had committed sins and transgressed. If we look at Acts 13, verse 22, let's turn there for a second. And it says, "And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, and to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will." Must be nice to be classified as a man after God's own heart. What obedience, and how much faith someone must have to be classified as a man after God's own heart. To be classified as a friend of God, as we've heard already this weekend. One that walked with God. How much obedience and faith must a man show to be in that classification? Sure, it takes a lot. And as we know that we do fall short. We fall short of the glory of God and we miss the mark. But we also know that through baptism, that we too can pray and seek guidance and ask forgiveness and have those sins removed, and we too can be classified as a man after God's own heart or a friend of God. But it's up to us to put in the work and the effort, not just on Sunday or Wednesday, but every day. Every day when we wake up, We too should put on the whole armor of God that is found in Ephesians. So, as we read here, there was to be a greater David that we read about in Acts 13. There was to be a greater David. He was the Word made flesh. That is in reference to Christ. Let's look at Acts 2, chapter 2. I guess it's the good thing about preparing classes or exhortations. When you don't write down a lot of words on paper and you have scriptures, you can add to when you need to. or you can take away when you need to. So Acts 2:29. We're going to read verse 29 first. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. So what's the significance here of this verse? Well, as Brother Butch pointed out in his class this morning, there's a lot of significance because we know that he will be raised. How does he come under that? Well, as he alluded to, for us it's baptism. But those that came before us, they had to make those animal sacrifices that foreshadowed and pointed toward Christ. And they had to know that. That it wasn't supposed to be the animal that was being sacrificed or dying, but himself or ourselves. The cutting off of the flesh, the cutting off of the sin, the human nature. So this is significant to us in pointing out things like once you die, you go to heaven. Because this man that they're talking about here was the man after God's own heart. And even he is still dead and buried and with us today. He's not up in the clouds as some would have us to believe or would like for us to believe. Now let's read, go back to verse 22 and we're going to read 22. We'll start at verse 22. Here. Ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved to God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, have loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy holy one to see corruption, for thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with my countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified both Lord and Christ. So when we read these here, and it references to Christ being on the throne of David, how does Christ get to this position? What does he do first? Well, let's turn to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. Then Jesus cometh from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So, this points to the significance of baptism. What does it do for us? Well, for us, it opens the door. What door? The door to salvation. The door to have a hope of being in this kingdom that we read about in Acts. This throne of David that would be resurrected and that Christ would sit on it as ruler and king. And those of us who are judged worthy would be granted an inheritance in that kingdom to be a saint, to be a teacher. That's the significance for us, to bring about God's manifestation. And Christ is our example. So we had to lead by example. So he made the way. He led the way for us that we too could take up our cross and follow after him if we so choose. Just as Brother Butch pointed out, the two ways. There are two ways for us. One, we can stay in Adam and be of that Adamic condemnation, and our reward is whatever we make in it in this life that we're in now. Or two, we can come out of Adam and into Christ and have a hope of resurrection and a hope of a new life and a life eternal, life everlasting, tasting of that water, that pure living water when Moses smote the rock that flowed out and it was given freely to drink. That water. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 1. I have notes written on the side of the paper here, so you have to bear with me as I turn to look for them. And I'm not a very good writer, so it makes it even harder for me to read. My mother taught me how to write, and she's not a very good writer either. And we're the only two that can read each other's writing. And so she's not here, so I'm having to struggle with it. 1 Peter chapter 1 verses 3 through 7. And it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of who? Jesus Christ. From what? From the dead. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." And we're going to skip over to 18 and read 18 through 25. "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversations, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, seeing that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." A lot of stuff's covered there in those last few verses we just read. We think about it. Some of us go back to, minds go back to Job. We're told, you know, that we come forth, we bloom, we blossom, and we fade away. That is our human nature. That is our flesh that we have, that we're born under. And, as Brother Steve mentioned in his talk with the age of man seems to be going down in years, being reduced in years as it was in the beginning. We sin. We constantly sin. We're constantly in a battle. We're constantly warring with our flesh. The things that are all around us, the things that we have to deal with sometimes at work, they get us out of character. They change our demeanor. Our attitude becomes changed. And that's not supposed to be the case. We're supposed to be unchanging, just as the scriptures are unchanging, just as God is unchanging. He made a promise. Those promises to Abraham, those promises to David, those promises to Noah, and all those that would become heirs with Christ and co-heirs with Abraham, those promises are unchanging. They are from the beginning until the end, from everlasting. And it is up to us to avail ourselves of the opportunity to be counted in those promises, to be found worthy of inheriting those promises. We know that Christ was the first fruits of those that slept. I want to, since we reference Christ here and we reference about his baptism and the significance of baptism, let's look at Luke chapter 2. I think this is, I added this in here. I think this is the appropriate time to read these few scriptures here. Luke chapter 2, we're going to read 21 and 22. I'm sure some of y'all could probably quote this. I cannot. My mind's not that good. So 21 and 22, and when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. So, no clean thing can come out of an unclean thing. He could not have had clean flesh. Jesus could not. He was born under the same sin nature, the same Adamic condemnation as we are, because he too was also in the loins of Adam when Adam transgressed, just as we are. Let's look at this. What this points back to in reference here. Let's look at Genesis 17. See how the Bible intertwines in its perfect harmony when you start looking at references to scriptures from the New Testament and the Old Testament, of how they line up. And it was explained from the beginning. So, Genesis 17, verses 7 through 12. And it says, I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, and their generation, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee, and to thy seed after thee, the land wherein thou art a stranger, and all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore thou and thy seed after thee in their generation. This is my covenant, which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man-child among you shall be circumcised, and ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man-child in your generations. He that is born in the house or bought with money of any stranger, which is not of thy seed. We're going to stop there. But the significance here between this and Genesis 17 and that from Luke chapter 2, between the two of being circumcised, the importance of it, which is in reference to us, the importance of baptism. Okay? Then, under the law, they had to cut off the skin to make a covenant between them and God, to make that vow. Us, we succumb to the waters of baptism after knowledge, and we make that covenant with God. We make that vow. And that vow is never ending. We might quit, and we might quit on our end, but God does not. We will still be raised for that judgment, whether we walk away or whether we continue the fight and continue the battle that goes on within. That is up to us to decide. It's tough. It's not easy. You know, I do a different line of work than most everybody here. We have some people that are nurses or retired nurses. They kind of understand what it's like because you get to see how people's families are, how they are. You get to see a lot of emotions and reactions depending on what type of nursing that you do. Mine, I get to see it every day. On the first of the month, when they want their check, I get to see how attitudes and emotions get riled up. I get to see how families react when their loved one takes a turn for the worst. It's my job is a roller coaster of emotions. And, you know, sometimes it's good because it helps me to be, I guess, a little more tender-hearted dealing with some families and some of the things they have going on. And it also allows me the ability to be able to try to instill a small part of the truth into somebody that's never heard it either. So, you know, like I said, everybody has different jobs. Everybody has different hobbies. Everybody has different things that can get them drawn away from the truth, to get focused on another task or another goal. And then we set the truth aside. We put it, I guess you would say, we kind of put it in the corner and we forget about it and it collects dust. And we should not do that at all. So, as we said, Christ was about his Father's business. And that God manifestation brings about human salvation, but we are to bring about God manifestation. So Christ was the first fruits of those that slept. We are to be a new creature. We are to be transformed. The things that we keep on our mind and our heart, those things that will proceed out of our mouth, they will also come out of our actions and our attitudes. Let's look at Colossians chapter 1. Now quit talking for a minute and get back to reading. Colossians chapter 1, starting at verse 10. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. See, when we get baptized, that's only the beginning. We are to continue to study and learn the truth. It's only the beginning. We are to increase in the knowledge. Strengthen with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us, or qualified us, for the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. I think I'm going to read a few more. Yes. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist, and he is the head of the body and the ecclesia, who is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead, and that in all things he might have preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. So, a couple key points here. That verse 13, I don't remember when, but Brother Pat in our ecclesia was given a exhortation, and he made that note in there about qualified us for the kingdom. And that's what Christ did. When we put on his name, the things that he overcome, overcoming the sin, being crucified on the cross, he made the way, he broke down that wall, and those that would come into his name, into covenant relationship, are qualified for his kingdom. How many people in here bought a house without getting a credit rating? Without doing a credit application? It's never happened. If you don't qualify for it, you ain't buying it. That's the same way with the kingdom. If you're not qualified for it, you're not getting it. It just happens that way. I'm sorry. It is what it is. We have to be qualified to be in that kingdom. We have to come into covenant relationship with Jesus Christ, our personal Savior. The one that God sent in the image and likeness as we are to overcome that sin. Think about that. When Christ was baptized, I got this wrote down somewhere. We was going to get to it later, but since I'm here, I'm going to go ahead now. When Christ was baptized and the heavens opened up and God said, "This is my Son, my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased," what gift did he give him? The Holy Spirit. And where did Christ go after he received the Holy Spirit? Into the wilderness for how many days? 40, without food or water. And he was tempted. And he had the Holy Spirit, and yet he did not use it one time to provide food or water to overcome those temptations. Not one time. How many of us would have a way to be able to get out of something, say out of trouble, and we would use it to get out of trouble so we wouldn't get in trouble? Everybody would raise their hand at one point in time because we was all mischievous as kids at one point in time. Think about it. Put ourselves in Christ's shoes. If we were in the wilderness without food or water for that long, and we were at war with our mind and our flesh, you know, we can go down here and we can set up the kingdom now. He overcame that. Could we overcome that? Some in here might could. I don't think I could. I'm not a strong-willed person as I need to be. That's something I need to work on. I'm not a very patient person. I need to work on that. You'd think after having four kids I'd have a lot of patience, but I still do not. So, think about that though. How could he have the power, the mental capacity to overcome and not use the Holy Spirit in a time like that? How? We can't even fathom that idea because we don't have that opportunity. But he was chosen. That's why he was chosen. He was chosen by God when he was placed in Mary. That even no matter what the temptation was or the desire was, that he would have the mental fortitude and be about his Father's business, and they would be aligned as one, that he could overcome that sin. That he could overcome that temptation. It's a pretty tough task. Let's look at Colossians chapter 2. 11 through 15. In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, this is talking about baptism, and putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. See, that last verse there points out to where we stand after baptism. We are in that body. Christ is the head of that body. We are in that body. Very significant. You know, when you think about it, you think about Christ and overcoming in the wilderness and those temptations. Think about us. I always remember during the first part of the pandemic, there was a video that was going around and they were doing it with, you know, their kids, and they would put like four or five Skittles on the table and they'd turn the video camera on and they'd say, all right, don't eat this. And the parents would walk away and they'd leave that camera in there and see which kids obeyed and which ones didn't. You know, that's how we are. We're left unattended, which is, you know, not on Sundays or Wednesdays, when we're out in the world and we're unattended and our brothers and sisters can't see us, are we obedient? Do we disobey or do we obey? You know, he can see us, but all these other eyes can't see us. How do we live our life? Are we showing a Christ-like example? You know, I tell people all the time at work when they get upset with other people at work, and we have disagreements. Well, they said this about me. I say, well, question. Does any of it have to do with the bearing of your salvation? And they say, no. Then what are you worried about? There's nothing that anybody can say that takes you away from that. Only you can take yourself away from that salvation. Only we can take ourselves away from that hope. Only us. Nobody else. Only us. Because as we're told in James, when we are tempted and enticed and we are drawn away by our own lust, we bring forth sin. And what does sin bring forth? Death, as we're told in Romans. The wages of sin is death. That's it. The wages of sin. What you earn for sin is death. It's pretty simple. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I hope I get through all this. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting at verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, and by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming, then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is sin. The wages of sin is death. So, talking about here in Adam. Well, if we never come out of Adam, then, like I said earlier, we make of this life what we make of it, and when we draw that last breath, that's it. But of course, we come out of Adam and into Christ, then we have a hope. We'll be one of those first fruits, as Christ was the first fruit. Like I said, we are to be a new creature. We are to be transformed. We are to have a renewed mind, a new character. We are to be a witness to others who do not know Christ. We are to be a witness. Let's look at Romans chapter 12. One verse here. 12 verse 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This is what we should do every day. We should be renewed. We should be transformed. When we do find ourselves in sin, when we do transgress, we should ask forgiveness and seek guidance. We're supposed to go about this transformation. Like I said, we should put on the whole armor of God. Let's look at Philippians 2, verse 5. Philippians chapter 2, starting at verse 5, we're going to read 5 through 11. It says, now, I got this one circled, underlined, bracketed, and starred in my Bible. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, whom being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, or the stake. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of the things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now let's go back here in this verse 8. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Where's the next one at? Verse 7. But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. Let's think about that, the significance of that. So what did Jesus do with the disciples? That one time they were gathered together and he took the wash bowl. He was going to wash their feet. That's a pretty low task, isn't it? You know, you think about it. I mean, in my line of work, what I do, people that give baths are the lowest on the totem pole in our line of work. I mean, they're the least paid in our line of work. So you think about that. Christ had humbled himself, esteemed himself until the lowest point in that room that he washed the feet of the servants. Why was that? To show the significance of how humble, how much humility that we should have, that we should be able to help pick our brothers and sisters up in the time of need, help to clean them in the time of need when they fall off or when they need anything. We have to be humble, and we have to, when we keep the truth, we have to keep it with humility, not stand up on the highest mountain and rub it in people's face. People aren't going to want to listen to that. They're going to come unto us and ask questions the more humbled we are and the more sincere we are about the truth. When they see us in our actions and how we move and how we treat others and our demeanor, our character, people will come ask questions. A lot more questions that way than if we're real proud about it, you know, and haughty. So we see some of that today in the brotherhood, unfortunately, that, you know, some people think they're smarter than, I'm not a very smart person. I'm very simple. I'm just a dumb country boy that lives real close to a cornfield, loves to ride tractors and hunt deer. That's about all I know. So I don't speak with big words. I'm real simple. I try to keep it simple. And the reason that is because the truth is simple. And if we keep it simple, then it's easier to understand. Be careful using these big words, because sometimes we use them out of context and we don't use them properly, and it makes us look real silly. So let's keep it simple. Try not to get over too many people's heads. Sorry. So the things we keep on our mind and heart, these are the things that will proceed out of our mouth. They'll come with our actions. Now let's look at Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, starting at verse 3. We're going to read 3 through 8. It says, Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck and write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. We should be about our Father's business. We should be just as Christ was. We should follow Yahweh's laws and statutes, and they should be our guide. His laws and statutes should be our light unto our path. We know it is not easy. It's never easy with the things that are going on around us and the things in the world, especially the things that are taking place in the Middle East right now. For us to get caught up in sin, it is very easy to get caught up in sin. Why is this? Why is it so easy for us to get caught up in sin? Let's look at Proverbs chapter 14. This is a good one. You might want to mark this one too. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. And this explains a lot about our nature and our flesh. 14, verse 12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So, when we think about that, think about the in the garden, Adam and Eve. Brother Butch touched on it a little bit yesterday. If God would not have intervened with Adam and Eve when they had sinned and transgressed in the garden, and as he mentioned, they didn't know anything about animal sacrifice, any sacrifice whatsoever. But if God would not have intervened, do we think there would have been a way for man to be in a correct understanding and in a direct line with God? Would he ever been able to get those sins forgiven? Probably not. That's why God intervened. God knew it from the beginning that when he made man on the face of the earth, that man would sit in their spare time and come up with all forms of who know what and bring forth sin. And that sin brings forth death. And without that way of him intervening or interposing his will by bringing forth the animals and the coats of skin that were provided for the covering, there would be no way for us to be under the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Wouldn't be no way. God intervened. God made the way. He provided his Son that foreshadowed, all those things foreshadowed his coming on this face of the earth to be that seed, to have that dying nature, to have that flesh, and to overcome it. That's who we follow after. He is our example, our mediator. Let's look at Romans chapter 6. All right, Romans chapter 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's very important. We have to come out of Adam and into Christ through the waters of baptism. And through God's grace and mercy and love for us, there's been a way made that we too can be counted in that number. And we can overcome these wages of sin, which is death, and be found a life eternal in God's kingdom with His Son ruling on the throne. Thank you.